In the first few verses of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read the following. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Last week we saw in Mark's Gospel, in the 10th chapter, the contrast between one man that came to Christ and sought justification, sought to be justified, sought to be saved through his own works. Christ asked him, "Why callest thou me good?" When this man addressed Christ as the good master. "For there is none good but one, that is God." And Christ reminded this man of the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honour thy father and mother. And the young man's response was, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." And he thought that by doing these things he might inherit eternal life. He thought that by his doing he might inherit eternal life. "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Christ said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor." For Christ knew that he couldn't do all these things. And Christ knew the heart of this man and that which he wouldn't do, because he knew that this man took a pride in what he did. And what he did were riches to him. What he did, his works, his keeping of that law, were riches to him. And he trusted in it. And he thought he might inherit eternal life by it. And Christ knew that he couldn't. And if he was to give up all that he trusted in, give up all his riches, then he would own that he was nothing and look to Christ alone for salvation and cry out unto him. But no, he sought salvation by his works. But what a contrast that was with the man at the end of the chapter, blind Bartimaeus, who did nothing. He couldn't even see. He couldn't even see Christ as he passed him by. But he heard the crowds and he knew who it was. And he believed that salvation would be found by this one who passed his way. He believed that Christ could have mercy upon him. He believed that Christ could give him sight. And he cried out, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Thy faith have made thee whole. This blind man believed, and his belief, his faith, made him whole. His faith gave him that sight which he lacked, and he followed Jesus in the way. Now, what a contrast between one seeking to be saved by his own strength, his own will, his own works, and one who was without strength, a blind man, whose faith made him whole. Oh, what that blind Bartimaeus saw. Not just when his physical eyes were opened and he followed Christ physically, but oh, what he saw of Christ. And oh, to have the vision, the sight, the faith of that man, and see something of the wonders of Christ. Do you long for it? Oh, I tell you, I want his faith. I want to see like blind Bartimaeus saw. That's the faith we need. That's the faith you need. Because if you have that faith, you will see something of the wonders of that Saviour, of whom John spake. When John concluded his gospel with these words concerning Christ. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. If they should be written, everyone, all that Christ did in his short lifetime on this world, all that he did, if all they should, all those things should be written down and the wonders of it recorded, John supposed that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Now, if God should give you faith to see this Saviour, as he gave to Bartimaeus, then you'll have something of a sight of that Jesus whose wondrous works were so great. So great in number and so great in quality that even the world could not contain the books that should be written to describe them. What a sight! There's nothing you can see in this world with the natural eye comparable to the sight of faith and the sight of Jesus Christ the Saviour, which faith grants. You could live to be 1,000 and travel to every nation and see every mountain valley, every land, every island, every sea, every lake, every plain, every city. You could see the most marvelous sights in creation, every animal. All the beauties of this world and all the beauties of the firmament, and you'd see nothing comparable to the sight of Jesus Christ by faith. By faith. Jesus said unto Bartimaeus, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Have you the faith of Bartimaeus? Have you? What is the faith of Bartimaeus? What is faith? For if faith made Bartimaeus whole, were all the works of that young man, could never save him, then clearly faith is something wondrous that you and I are in great need of. And it is clear that not all men have this faith. Because that young man did not see who Christ was and believe in him as that blind man believed. That blind man believed, but the man with the natural sight, so full of the scriptures, so full of his own wisdom, so full of his own zeal in religion, could not see. Then it's clear that some have this faith. And some do not. What is it? Well, I want to look briefly at seven descriptions of faith that the scriptures present unto us. Because the scriptures define this faith and make it plain what it is. That faith which made the blind man whole. And there's no better chapter in the scriptures to turn to than this 11th chapter in Hebrews to read of faith and of the wonders of faith and of those who lived by faith, those who saw by faith, those who believed by faith, and those who died believing and trusting and resting in a promise which in their lifetime they never received. These who looked unto Christ as Bartimaeus did, of whom the world was not worthy, these men of faith, men and women of faith, of whom this world was not worthy, who looked unto a Saviour, who did so much wondrous works that the world could not contain the books to describe him. And the author of Hebrews has a similar thing to say of these that live by faith. He says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. The women received their dead to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Well, the writer, time would fail him to write of all those men and women through history to that point that had lived by faith, that had trusted by faith, that had stood by faith, that had endured by faith. What an account this is here of what these people endured and suffered because of that faith they had, which caused them to hope and trust and rest in the promises of God. whilst they journeyed through a world which hated and despised both them and their God and Saviour. A world which threatened to put them to death, and a world which for many of them did put them to death. Oh, what a power that faith they had was, that they could endure and die believing and resting in their God. Then what a wonderful thing this faith is. Then what is this faith they had? How did they endure? How did they see? How did they believe? Because they had that faith that God gives unto his chosen people. Unto Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all the prophets. That faith, they had that faith, which, as verse 1 tells us, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? What is faith? Firstly, it is the substance of things hoped for. That young man came unto Christ and asked, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Do you hope for everlasting eternal life? Do you hope for salvation? Do you hope for something which you will experience after your death when you pass through from this world, from time into eternity? Where will you go? Where will you be? Where will you remain forevermore? What are you hoping for beyond the grave? I tell you, your sin, your rebellion and your corruption, your rebellion against your Maker from the days of your youth have earned you everlasting condemnation, everlasting damnation. That's what you've earned. That's your inheritance by nature. But I doubt that it is that which you hope for. But faith hopes in something else. Faith has a sure and a certain hope for deliverance from the dead, for a resurrection from the dead. Faith hopes and rests and believes that when you enter the grave, that God will deliver you and raise you again and grant unto you eternal life and grant unto you an inheritance in the world to come. Abraham and these others desired a better country than the country they dwelt and passed through in this world. They desired a heavenly country. And Abraham believed that one day he would dwell in that heavenly country. He would dwell with his God and Saviour. He would see his Saviour face to face and have everlasting life and reign and live with him forevermore. He believed it. And what made him believe? Faith. The substance of things hoped for. The substance. The pledge of the inheritance to come. When somebody writes their will, they write down, "I will leave these things, all my earthly goods, my estate to this person." And when they die, that will is the pledge of that which will be granted in due course to that person. Until such time as it's theirs, and the keys to the estate are handed over, or the money is passed into their bank account, they have nothing but that pledge, that will, that legal document which says it's theirs. That's the substance of that in which they hope, that for which they wait. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for by the believer in Jesus Christ. By faith in him and in his promise of salvation, we know that eternal life is ours. We know that that inheritance he has promised to his people will be ours. Without faith, we have nothing to rest in. It's a pledge. It's certain. If you have this faith, like Abraham had, you can endure the opposition of all men in this world. You can endure being stripped of all your worldly goods. You can endure trials and suffering because you know that Christ is yours. And you know that everlasting life is yours because you've been brought to hear his gospel. And you've been brought to hear of a Saviour who entered this world to save sinners. You've been brought to hear of the death of the Son of God, who loved the people given unto him before the foundation of the world by his Father, who loved the people named upon his heart, and who came into this world for that people, and who suffered the rejection of all men and suffered the crucifixion of himself upon a cross, that he should die for that people and bear their sins in his own body on the tree and be made sin for them, that they should be made the righteousness of God in him. He came to save a people, and the gospel makes his salvation known, that he came to deliver his people from their sins, to wash their sins away by his blood, to take the judgment of God which is due unto them and their sins, and to take it upon himself and blot it out and wash it away and make them to be righteous. That's what he came for. That's what the gospel makes known. And should you hear the gospel, should you hear that truth in power, should you know it and understand it, should it be revealed unto you, then faith by that gospel as the gift of God will cause you to lay hold of Christ and to believe on him and to rest in him and have faith as the substance of that in which you hope, because you believe and know that he died for you. You believe and know that he washed your sins away. You believe and know that in the last day you too will rise again with the saints and live and dwell with him forevermore. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's that certain, real, tangible belief and hope you have in that which cannot be seen with a natural mind, in that which cannot be understood intellectually, naturally speaking. But you know it's yours because God's opened your eyes and made you to see and made you to cry out and made you to call and made you to hear. Because you cried out, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And you heard the answer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Secondly, faith is the evidence of things not seen. You've not yet seen the inheritance. You didn't see with the natural eyes Christ crucified upon the cross. You haven't seen naturally God, for he's hidden from the natural eye. But with faith, you see. People speak of blind faith. There is nothing blind about faith. The natural eye, the natural understanding, cannot comprehend or see the things of God. But faith is that spiritual sight by which believers see and know their Saviour. Their faith is not blind. This is not some natural faith, some worked up hope where you trust and hope and hope something that you've never seen or really known or have any experience of might be true. It's not a blind, foolish hope in that perhaps that report that I've been told will come about. But faith is that supernatural working in the heart of the Holy Ghost, that gift of God that God puts within you when he quickens you by his gospel unto life and makes you to see. It's that opening of the eyes inwardly by which you see God, by which you see Christ, by which you lay hold on salvation. It's the evidence of things not seen. Not seen naturally, not seen previously, but when your eyes are open, when the blind eyes of your heart are opened by the gospel, by the Spirit of God through that gospel, then you see by faith. And that sight, that faith is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of those things you never saw, the evidence of those things you're yet to see. It's not blind. Thirdly, we read in this chapter, in verse 5 and 6, that faith, and faith alone, is that by which God is pleased. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Well, how did he please God? By his works, by his righteousness, by his zeal, by his loyalty, by something in which Enoch could boast? No, by faith. For verse 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is that which pleases God. Nothing else does. You either believe that God is, and believe in, you seek him, you cry out to him, you call unto him, you long for him, you follow him. As blind Bartimaeus cried out for mercy, believing that Jesus would hear him. And when Jesus heard and answered his call, he followed. You either believe and follow by faith, or you try to please God by your own works. That young man tried to please God, and Christ said, you're lacking. One thing thou lackest. You've done all this, but you still lack. There's no pleasing God by your works, because your works are full of sin. They're filthy rags. You may think their righteousness, you may think you're keeping the law, you may think you're living right, you may think God should be pleased with you, but you're full of pride and arrogance and self-righteousness. And there's no pleasing God that way. You must have faith. And there's a total contrast throughout all the gospel, throughout all the scriptures, between the life of faith and a life lived out by works. A total contrast between works and faith, law and grace. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. All who have ever pleased God like Enoch here, have pleased him by faith. Abel pleased God because he believed. He offered a sacrifice, but it wasn't the sacrifice or his offering. It wasn't his offering of the sacrifice in which he trusted. It was that which that sacrifice pointed to, Christ. He offered up a lamb, for he knew that a lamb, the Lamb of God, must be offered in his place. He knew that a lamb must die and shed its blood and take his sins and wash him clean, and he believed it. Noah pleased God because he prepared an ark at God's command, and he believed what that ark represented, that he would be delivered from wrath to come through an ark, through one in which he was covered, through a covering that kept the judgment, the reins of God's wrath off of him. He became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith because Noah saw through the ark Christ his Saviour, one in which he would be sheltered from the storms of God's wrath, and one in which he would be covered from that wrath. And in being covered, he would be covered by blood and covered by righteousness. Which is why Noah's building of the ark and the message that his building of that ark sent forth made him a preacher of righteousness. Abraham lived by faith. He pleased God by his faith, not by his works. He left all and followed God whithersoever he was led. He offered up his son Isaac, his promised son that he'd waited years to see born and was miraculously born unto him by Sarah. This wonderful promise of God, his son in whom there would be the inheritance, God said, offer him up. And all natural reason would have gone against it, would have said, well, how can he be my inheritance if I slay him? But Abraham believed that if he slew Isaac as God had promised, that God was able to raise him from the dead. And he saw in the slaying of his son, the slaying of his greater son, the slaying of God's son, the slaying of Christ, who would die and take his sins away and would rise again from the grave. He believed, and believing, he pleased God. Likewise, Moses, David, Rahab, Samuel, they all believed, and it's their faith which pleased God. It's Moses' faith which pleased God, not Moses' keeping of the law which God delivered by Moses. All who have ever pleased God have pleased him by faith. All. And that includes the last Adam, the second man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the just one. For the just shall live by his faith. And the reason God was pleased in his Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He was pleased because Christ himself walked before his Father as a man by faith. Christ lived, communed, believed and trusted in his God by faith. He walked and suffered in this world by faith. He endured all by faith, and he went to the cross by faith, knowing that God would raise him again from the grave, knowing that God would lay upon him the sins of all his people, knowing that he would take that people through the waters of death, knowing that he would deliver them and bring them forth safely the other side. He believed. He believed. Which is why the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 12 goes on to say that we look unto Jesus, the author, the captain, and the finisher, the object of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ lived and pleased his God by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That alone by which God is pleased. And faith is also, fourthly, not of the law. As I've made plain, you can come unto God one of two ways. You can seek to be justified one of two ways. By your works, by your keeping of the law, or by faith, by looking unto Jesus Christ, who through his death, by faith, brought in the righteousness of God for all his people. Faith is not of the law. The law and the gospel are distinct. Galatians 3 verse 12 tells us the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. The law is not of faith. And we read elsewhere that what is not of faith is sin. Then if you put yourself to keeping the law, which is not of faith, and you try to keep it by your own strength, you're going to find that all that comes forth as you strive to keep that law is your sin. And even when you keep it, all you'll see is your pride in keeping it. Not that the law itself is not good. The law is good, it's holy and just. But you live under that law, and all you'll bring forth is sin. The law is not of faith. It doesn't demand it, it doesn't require it. But faith looks not to your keeping of the law, but looks to a Saviour crucified in your stead. Faith is not of the law, and the law is not of faith. Fifthly, as Ephesians makes it plain, faith is the gift of God. You're not born with it. People speak of putting their faith in this and that. People speak of putting their faith in Jesus Christ as though you have faith and you can put your faith, put your belief into this or into that. You can either believe on Christ or you can believe in Buddha. You can believe in this one or you can believe in that one. It's not whether you have faith or not, but where you place your faith. Well, this is nonsense. This is just natural trusting and resting and hoping. That's just a natural application of the intellect. That's just a natural application of reason. You read about this, you read about that, you read about this religion, you read about that religion. This seems the most reasonable to you, and this is what you trust in. And ultimately, what is common to all this use of natural faith is that ultimately your trust is in yourself. You've read about this religion. You've read about that religion. You've picked up the Bible. You've studied the doctrine. And you see that it's like this. And by your reason and intellect, you've worked it out to be like this. And Jesus is like this. And I like the Jesus that I heard by this preacher or that preacher, or from this book or that book. And I'm going to follow that Jesus. And you rest in it, but you're trusting and resting in your own intellectual comprehension of a description presented unto you. A description of somebody called Jesus, somebody called the Son of God, something in which you are going to rest and follow. That's all natural faith is. It's mental assent. And it will not save you. It will crumble. It's wood, hay and stubble in the end. When the fires of God's wrath come down, when the fires of death approach, you will not stand. You're not born with faith. You're born blind. That's why you need Christ to touch your eyes and open them. That's why you need faith as the evidence of things not seen. You need a spiritual sight to see spiritual views, to see Christ whom you never saw before. And this is why God makes it plain that faith is the gift of God. Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God gives it. He gives it when we're born again by his Spirit through the gospel as it's preached unto your soul. You're not born with this faith, but you are born again by God, by the gospel. God gives us faith by a new birth. Sixthly, faith is that and that alone which justifies. It's that alone which brings forth righteousness. As Paul makes very clear in the Roman epistle, multiple times, that works do not justify. We're justified not by the works of the law, but by faith. By the faith of Jesus Christ, and by that faith which he gives us to rest in him and look unto him and believe in him. It's his death upon the cross for his people that saves them. And the consequence of that death is that in time they're born again and they're given faith to rest in him, to see him, to lay hold of him, to believe in him. Faith alone is that by which we become heirs of righteousness. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It's the faith that brought in the righteousness, the faith that justifies. Not that faith was some work in which Noah could trust, but God opened his eyes, God gave him faith, and God brought forth the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ for him. Faith is that which justifies. And finally, faith is that, as Habakkuk and as Romans tells us, by which the just man lives. For the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Paul quotes from here in Romans 1 verse 17. It says in verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith," from Christ's faith, "unto the faith which he gives unto his people. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." There's no true life but that life which is lived by faith. We're born in this world, but we're born as dying men, women and children. Spiritually speaking, we're already dead. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We're just biding our time until we pass from this world into the lake of fire to come if we know not Christ. We're dead. But when we're born again by God in the gospel, then we're brought to live with a life unlike anything else. We're brought to life by that gospel. We're brought to life by God. And we're brought to life believing in Jesus Christ. We live by faith. We're brought to life by faith, and we continue to live by faith. We have this different quality of life which looks and rests in God, which looks unto God, which cries unto God, which communes with God. We live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Christ lived by faith, and all his people in him live by faith too. He looked and trusted in his Father, and they look unto him and trust in him and his Father through him. The just shall live by faith. This faith governs our whole way of living, our whole outlook, our whole frame of mind, all our desires, all our ambitions, when we're brought to faith, are shaped by it. We look to Christ. We look to God. We rest in Christ. We rest in God. We look outside of ourselves. We cease to trust and rest in ourselves, in our own strength or in the wisdom of man. But we trust, we rest, we hope, we believe in God and in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't work, we believe. And we believe in him who gave himself for us. As Abraham offered up Isaac, that son who was slain. Well, Christ wasn't just offered up, he offered himself up. He suffered on the cross for sinners. He gave himself as he looked and trusted in God to take him and to lay on him the sins of his people and to bring them through with him the other side of death. He rested in what the Father had promised unto him from before the foundation of the world. In that covenant, he believed it, he trusted it. And he trusted that all for whom he died would be washed clean, would be justified, would rise again with him, would be made the righteousness of God in him, would be saved, would have everlasting life, would be brought to life by faith, by the gospel, and would be made his bride forevermore. Oh, perfect salvation, perfect faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That which pleases God, it's not of the law. It is the gift of God. It's that which justifies, and it's that by which the justified, the just man lives. Have you got this faith? As Christ touched your eyes like blind Bartimaeus and made you to see and said unto you, thy faith have made thee whole. As he opened your eyes, and have you looked and seen a Saviour who looks upon you in love, having suffered and died to wash your sins away, who looks upon you in love, that Saviour of whom John said, if all that was written of what he had done should be written in books, I suppose that the world itself could not contain all the books that should be written. Amen.